Just be prepared. You know, is that the Boy Scouts? Be prepared. Praise God. Well, we're going to be prepared. The coming of the Lord, the sounding of the trumpet, the move of the Holy Ghost, the need for prayer. Amen. Testifying. Oh, yes. Thank God that the hand of God can move at any time, any place, through anybody. Hallelujah. And thank God that we're involved in his kingdom. Stand with me. We're so very thankful to have Brother Dylan Morgan with us. We appreciate him fitting us in here on the off times of Life Church in Anchorage and being able and willing to come make that long drive and back and forth and then being willing to share the Word of God with us. Amen. We appreciate him. We want him to come now and share the Word of God that the Lord has put on his heart for this time, for this place. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's it. Let's just worship him for a few more moments. What a beautiful presence of the Lord that has been in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 I love what I feel in the house of the Lord here tonight. Anybody glad to be in the presence of God on a Tuesday night? Amen. I love the Word of God. I love getting to preach the Word of God. I love the body of Christ. I love that we are many members but one body. And one of my favorite things is getting to travel and just getting to meet brothers and sisters all across this world. I love this body. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all just turn to your wife. Turn to somebody that maybe isn't your wife or your husband and tell them, I love you too. Amen. Amen. There's nothing like the body of Christ. I am so honored to be here. I give honor to your pastor, Brother Glover, and your pastor's wife. Do you love your pastor and pastor's wife? Amen. Amen. Always give honor to whom honor is due. And it does not take long to realize that you have apostolic leadership in this church just by your sincerity and worship, and how the flow of the Holy Ghost is in this church proves to me very quickly what kind of leadership this church has. So I love your pastor and your pastor's wife. Amen. I have been talking to the Lord, trying to get a more direct word on exactly what tonight is supposed to be about, and I've been juggling on a few things and sitting right there, had my eyes closed, and the Lord, I just felt very, very quickly spoke to me this phrase, and maybe it'll make sense, maybe it won't, I don't really know, but I just felt him say that there are some reservoirs to be tapped into, that there are some things to be tapped into, and that there is a undercurrent and a flow that is about to be tapped into. And once we tap into it, church, there's no telling what God is about to do. I feel it. It's there's a current in the house. It's just what I just feel, a current flowing through this place. To what my friend said, Brother Levi, he made mention that you don't have to be Lee Stone King. And, you know, if you listen to Brother Stone King at all, he will tell you that the only reason that he is what he is because he got the Holy Ghost and believed in what he got. If you hear any messages at any period of time, somewhere or another, he's going to start talking about that he got the Holy Ghost, and when he got the Holy Ghost, he read that these signs follow them that believe. He said, well, I believe. And that's what's made him Lee Stone King. He believes. That's the special. That's the extra. That's Do you believe in what you got? Or do you just got something that you're not going to tap into? We've all got the same God that he has. You just got to tap into the flow. And there's a flow and a move of God in this house tonight. And I wonder what would happen for us right here tonight if we would tap into what's here. Kitando rosha tayala baha. Let the river flow, God. Ishatara kandoro bohosha. Amen. Amen. I don't know that I necessarily have a sermon for you tonight. I've got a few things, and we're just going to see where we end up in the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 26. We'll start reading at verse number 1, and then we're going to jump over after verses 1 and 2 and read verse number 12. Genesis 26 and verse number 1. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Genesis 26 and 1. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Someone say there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. Verse number 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Now I want you to think about this. And received in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. Verse number 1, and there was a famine in the land. Verse number 12, then Isaac sowed in that land. Verse number 1, there was a famine in the land. Verse number 12, Isaac still sowed in that very land. For the next few moments, I want to preach to us on this subject, while the famine is in the land. Would you sit your Bibles down, and could we ask that God would truly speak to us here tonight? Lord, my sincere prayer is that I would just be a conductor of what is already moving in this house. Pray, God, that I would be something that you could flow through, put your word in my mouth. Anoint me from the top of my head down to the very soles of my feet. Lord, I ask that I would not say one word too much and not one word too less, but that the perfect will of heaven would be done in earth in this house. I pray for revelation to flow, God, and that the prophetic touch that is in this room, God, would begin to make known the things that are in the spirit that are trying to happen right now, Lord, in the natural. I ask it all in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. If you believe God is going to do a great work, would you just let him know in your way? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Please be seated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And there was a famine in the land. Without doubt, there has been famines over our land over the last few years. We have seen famines of disease. We have seen famines of racial tension. We have seen famines of rioting. We have seen famines of dishonesty. We have seen things happen, and truly none of it should be surprising to the apostolic church, because I do believe that the Bible talked about the things that are happening, and we can begin to walk throughout our cities, and you begin to look throughout, and you see signs up everywhere, help needed, people needed to work. There are places that that businesses, they still can't even open up their lobby because they can't find enough help to hire people, because nobody wants to work in a land that is in a famine. They say to themselves, what is the point? Why go to work? They're waiting on the next government bailout. They're waiting on somebody else to make it easy for them. We live in a land that nobody wants to work for anything anymore. I am a part of a generation that feels as though, why would I go sweat when I can design an app at home and never have to do anything and never have to apply myself and never have to work and never have to. We live in a land that is in a famine. There is a famine going on to the eyes of the world. It doesn't take long walking around that there is a famine in the land. There's a famine happening. There is a famine of the world as they begin to literally, they turn left and their help is not there. They turn right and they are shortchanged and their help is not there. You can look all around as the church and you can see that the world is grabbing at the next thing to help them, but it always comes up short. They turn to drugs and the drugs won't help them. They turn to alcohol and the alcohol won't help them. They turn to lasciviousness and it won't help them. They turn to idolatry and it won't help them. We have, at a rate that we have never seen, adolescents, young men and young ladies turning to the inappropriate web pages that they should not be turning to. They are watching pornographic things that they should not be watching. Why? Because there's a famine in the land. They are beginning, young men at a very young age have begun to objectify young ladies like they never have before. They don't even know really what they are seeing or what they are looking at, and yet they are already objectifying a young woman. And really, they need to get the revelation and the understanding that the woman is the image of the bride of Christ, and she is not to be objectified, but in fact, she is to be esteemed and held high. And there are just things that are happening, and we have this grab, and there are young ladies that are dressing more provocatively than they have ever dressed, down to younger ages than we have ever seen them. They come out of the 70s, from the 80s, from the 90s, and now we're into the 2020s, and you can't even believe what we are seeing. The world is at shock and at awe at what they are seeing. Even the good old conservative folks that aren't Holy Ghost filled, they are in shock and awe at the place that the world is at. Can I preach to us tonight? The world is in famine. You've got to see it for what it is, church. The world is in famine. They don't have anything to drink. They don't have anything to eat. Nothing is really sustaining the world right now. Everything is a helpless grab. Everything is a helpless reach, just trying to find something that will sustain them. But I see that in that season of famine, that there was a man that sowed in the season of famine. His name was Isaac. Isaac was just prophesied, you will have the covenant of your father Abraham. You will walk in the blessings that Abraham walked in. You will have the same very blessing that your father Abraham had. Might I remind you that the great revival of the previous years is also for us here today. But greater is the revival of today, because the latter rain will always be greater than the former rain. Can I preach for just a moment that what we are upon, yes, the world is in famine, but that doesn't mean that the covenant folk, that it's time for us to be stingy with our seed. Now more than ever, we've got to realize, we've got to sow in a season of famine.
The Bible said that Isaac sowed in the land that year. What year? The year of the famine. While the rest of the world said, other churches are closing down. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. While the rest of the world said, other churches aren't cutting it anymore. I've heard their message, and the message didn't change me. I heard their doctrine, but really it was dogma, and it didn't change me. I heard what they preach, but their preaching had no anointing. Now more than ever, the covenant people, the one God people, the holiness people, those that are filled with the Spirit of God, I rise to tell you tonight that while there's famine in the land, the world needs the seed of the apostolic church to be sowed. While there was famine in the land, Isaac went ahead and said, I'm going to sow anyhow. Because you've got to understand that you are a part of something with a God that is above the laws of nature. You see, natural law is man's ability. It's man's grab to understand the great phenomenon of nature. But in fact, as great as the laws of nature are, I'm glad I know about gravity, a law of nature. For those that may be a pilot, you understand lift. Force and thrust, how they can work together to work into the air molecules and rise off of the ground. But these are all natural laws. But above the realm of natural law is a God that said, I hung the sun, the moon, and the stars. I told the ocean where to stop. I hung the great vistas of Alaska. I told Mount Everest that's as high as you can go. That very same God is the God that controls the harvest. And he said there will be seed time and there will be harvest time. He said there's a time to reap and a time to sow. And I feel strongly tonight to tell the church that while the world's in famine, the church needs to realize there's never been a better time for us to be the church. There's never been a better time for us to sow the seed of the one God message. There's never been a better time for us to be apostolic than right here. Right, I'm proud to be apostolic in the 21st century. I'm glad to be a part of a one God church. I'm glad to be a part of a holiness church. Now is the time. Someone shout, now is the time. Not tomorrow. When you're heading home today, look for a place to sow seed. Because although it may look like famine to the world, you're not bound by the same laws that the world is bound by. You see, you got to know who you are. You got to know who your daddy is. You got to know whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. You are not engaging an earthly father, but you're engaging the Father of creation, the keeper of all the times, the one that said, now... Now is the time. Come on, Isaac. You need to see that even though they're afraid to sow the seed, today's the day for the church to sow the seed. What is your seed? Your seed is the one God apostolic message. Your seed is Hero Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love him with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. You got to give him everything you can get. Now's the time to sow. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and repent of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now is the time for us to sow the message of the doctrine of baptism. You must be baptized with Holy Ghost and fire. While there's famine in the land, you see, he said, you got to go down to the valley of Gerar. What is that valley? That valley is a place that comes from the original word, W-A-D-I. I'm no Greek scholar, but it seems as though it's pronounced wadi. And it is a valley, a ravine, or a channel that is dry except in the rainy season. So you've got to understand that it was dry because there was famine in the land. There was no rain. There was no water. So watch what this definition says. So there was no overcurrent, but there was always an undercurrent to those that were willing to dig. Oh, you got to hear. You see, the world thinks there's no substance. There's nothing on top of the earth right now. But those that have a keen understanding of the undercurrent know it may take a little bit of effort. It may take a little bit of elbow grease. You may raise a little sweat on the brow. But if somebody will get a shovel and start digging in prayer, start digging in fasting, start digging in Bible studies, start digging in supplication, you get down to the undercurrent. I know it looks like there's nothing above the surface, but underneath the surface, there are things to be tapped into. There's a flow. When I come down off the hill and I started coming, I don't know if you consider this the valley or not, but when I was coming down off the mountain today, the Holy Ghost hit me and I started speaking in tongues and I felt just a current of the Holy Ghost. I couldn't help but begin to just travail a little bit, and I realized that to the world, this may look like a dry, torment place, but to the church of the Most High God, there's a flow. There's an undercurrent, and God's just looking for an Isaac that'll get the shovel, dig down a little deeper, get down a little deeper, get down a little deeper. I pray tonight that we would take off the lens of the flesh, look beyond the realm of the natural, and say in the supernatural there's a flow, in the supernatural there's a current, there's an undercurrent in this place. Can you feel it flowing right now? Can you feel it trying to come up in this place? It's trying to bubble up like a river of living water. It's trying to issue out of the doors of the church and get out into the streets and get out. Mando yo ho ke hatahasha. Yo no ho shataha. What is it that I'm feeling? You're feeling the flow. You're feeling the undercurrent. You're feeling what's underneath the surface. You're feeling what's down when somebody's willing to dig just a little bit. Do you feel the flow? Come on, worship him for just a moment. There's a flow in this house. Come on, for a little while longer, there's a flow in this house. Isaac dig a little bit, and he hit water. You see, when he hit water, those of the world came to him. The Bible says that he called that first place Sitna, which literally means a disagreement over the fundamental issues. They came and they strove against him. They warred against him for the flow. Our fundamental doctrines, the fundamental things, the things that make us who we are, the things that make us what we are. That's always going to be the first place that the world tries to battle the church over. But you just hang on, and you keep preaching the one God message. And you just keep preaching the apostolic doctrine, and you just keep preaching the things of the Spirit, and you just keep preaching what we believe and what we know and who we are. And he strove against them, and he went on to the next well, and he dug a little deeper. And that one, I can't remember the exact name off the top of my head, but it literally meant opposing forces. You see, there's always going to be opposition when you're the one in the flow. When you're the church in the flow, the other churches are always going to talk. Don't go to the crazy church across town. That's where the tongue talkers are at. That's where the holy rollers are at. That's where those that act a little odd are at. You're right. Because the Bible says we're a peculiar people. And we're not ashamed to be peculiar. When they look at me, I hope they say, there's something peculiar about that man. There's something peculiar about your... It's what makes us who we are. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. In fact, I believe the word says, come out and be separate. Don't be ashamed of your apostolic identity, young lady. Don't be ashamed of your apostolic identity, young man. Be strong in who you are. No, we don't cut our hair. No, we don't paint our faces. No, we don't wear our skirts hoochie high. Why? Because we're a peculiar people. You see, and young men, we don't talk like the world talks. And sir, we don't talk like the world talks because as the man is drawn by the eye, the woman is drawn by the ear. So he said, make your conversations pure for a reason. We don't talk a certain way, and we don't say certain things, and we don't act a certain way. Hello, somebody. Why? Because we're a peculiar people, and they're always going to oppose us for it. But we're a people of the flow. And while the rest of the world is trying to find water, the church knows I'm in the current of the Holy Ghost. They came and they took the wells. Think about it. They may take it, but they're never going to have the real thing unless they are what we are, believe what we believe, and practice what we practice. They're going to take it, and they're going to trim it, and they're going to cut it, and they're going to make it appealing to the one that comes in with the gold ring, because they're really not worried in populating heaven like the Pentecostals of Sterling are. They're worried about lining a pocketbook, but we're worried about one thing and one thing alone, and that is you and I getting to heaven. That is us walking on streets of gold. That is us being with Jesus, where there's no more sorrow, where there's no more pain, where there's no more hurt, where we just walk, where the Lamb is the light. I don't know how to make it any more plain. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency or the power of God may be in Christ. It's not about us. When Moses was up on top of the mountain and he was hearing the thunderings and the lightnings of the voice of God, louder than that, down at the bottom was some idol worship that was taking place. They were worshiping Baal, a golden calf that they had made for themselves. And that alone ought to tell the church that if they were willing to be so loud worshiping an idol, how much louder should the worship to the Most High God be? If Moses could hear them from the top of a mountain while there's thunderings and lightnings and God is making the commandments and he's speaking to his man, and they could hear the sound of the camp below while they're worshiping a false god, how much louder, how much more crazy should an apostolic church, where we've got the real message, where we've got, how much more us an hour. Yet we worship a little loud because we're worshiping the God that saved us, healed us, and redeemed us. Yeah. And when he come down off the mountain, he said, grind it up and drink it. I don't know how else to tell you where the treasure for an apostolic is supposed to be. It ain't something that we wear. It's what we have on the inside of us. My treasure ain't anything that I can adorn myself with. My treasure is that God is living on the inside of me. And when people see me, I hope they don't see anything too special about Dylan, other than the fact that I'm radiating the glory of the God that saved me, healed me, and redeemed me. Isaac knew how to get in the flow. And he goes on to the next place. And he finds the flow. God calls that place Raboth, meaning God has expanded our territory. But Isaac understood something about that place. I can't stay there. See, in this, there were three wells that he found. He found Esek, Sitna, and Raboth. And it was at Raboth he could have stayed and been comfortable, because the Bible said he even got fruit in Raboth. Nobody tried to come and take his message at Raboth. Nobody came and contended for the well at Raboth. But he understood, I can't stay here. And it's in that that I learned that there is a final enemy to the flow, and that is comfort. Because he could have stayed there and been comfortable in who he was and what he had accomplished. But Beersheba was calling him. And Beersheba was his birthplace. That's where Isaac was born. You see, I feel like God is calling the church back to our birthplace. And let me tell you what the church was born in a red hot fiery prayer meeting where we could get in the flow and we could stay in the flow for hours, where we could get in an upper room and not leave an upper room until the power of God caught a city on fire, where we could find ourselves at Azusa and we could be there and pray until a revival sparks and begins to carry out throughout the whole, you know. And then it got down all through all the 50s. But it started in a prayer meeting. You know where God's calling us? He's calling us back to the flow that birthed us. He's calling us back to being real, deal, apostolic, where we pray with fervency, where we lay hands on the sick and the sick recover, where we go out into the highways and the byways and we sow seed even if there is famine. I'm here to preach to a church that while there's famine in the land, the church is on fire. The church is in the flow. The church is sowing seed. Hallelujah. I wasn't planning on going here, but I feel to go here. The Bible says in Ezekiel 47 that there was a flow there, and it started in the temple. You got to think about that. Where did the flow start? In the temple. That's what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 47. Well, Paul tells us that the temple isn't just brick and mortar, but that flesh and blood, you and I, we are the temple. So if the flow doesn't start here, how can it exit here and get out there? You see, there's a flow that is flowing in this body, but God's trying to get it to break at the seams tonight and get out of the just the temple and get out into the streets. because there's a place that needs to flow. There's a drug addict that needs to flow. There's husbands and wives and broken families that need to flow. And there's such an undercurrent of the Holy Ghost in this house. And God, I feel, is echoing in the spirit. It's time for the flow to exit the temple and get out into the city. Bible says that he saw it and it came out of the temple, and he said, "Son of man, you've got this line in your hand." He said, "And I want you to measure 1,000 cubits. And that word measure literally means to stretch oneself. You see, it's going to take a stretching. And that's what happened when the church entered into this last season that we entered into. And we weren't allowed into church. God was stretching the body to deepen the flow. God was stretching the church to deepen the flow. God was stretching us to deepen the flow. And the Bible says that he measured 1,000 cubits, but that measuring was actually a stretching. He stretched himself. It is the very same word that the prophet, when he stretched himself over the dead child and brought life back. You see, where there is stretching, soon after, there will be life. And the Bible says, and he stretched, and the waters were to the ankles. Think about it. They were waters that he could walk in. They were waters that he could tread in. They were waters that he could wade through. And then he stretched again. And when he stretched this time, it was to the knees. So this time, all he needed were some hip waders to get through. And he could kind of step in the water, and he could get through the flow. But then the Bible says you've got to measure yet again. And when he measured again, it got a little higher this time, and the hip waders wouldn't cut it. This time it took some chest waders, and he could still get through the flow, but the flow was getting deeper. And that's what we've been feeling, is a deepening of the flow of the Spirit at the Pentecostals of Sterling. It's been getting a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And how you could approach the flow at other times, it's not how we can approach the flow now. You see, you can't tiptoe your way into this flow. You've got to get a little wet and a little submerged by the flow. You've got to be willing to let the flow get you a little uncomfortable. Is there a church here that's willing to get uncomfortable for the flow? Oh, I love verse number 5, because that's where I feel like we're at right now. Okay. And afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. You see, how he entered into the waters previously is not how he could enter the waters this time. And how we approach revival now, you can't just test to see if the waters feel good and then get in. And you can't put your waders on and wade through and make it through. But the flow that's here is not waters that you can swim in. It's only waters that will completely submerge everything about your life. It's going to submerge you deep. It's a deep calling unto deep. It is an expansion of the river. You can't tiptoe and make it. You can't know. There's just going to have to be some folks that say, I'm going to have to jump head first. I'm just going to have to be okay with getting submerged by the flow. For the waters were risen. Watch. Waters to swim in. I couldn't wade through it. the only way for me to get in this flow was to lay everything else aside and jump headfirst into what God was doing. We come out of COVID and said, we wanted to get back to normal. But there will never be a normal, Brother Glover. Normal is gone. The only way it's going to happen now is if you lay it all aside and jump in headfirst. And say, if Pastor says Tuesday night, there's going to be a Tuesday night flow. If Pastor says invite somebody, then there must be a flow there for somebody to get the hope. We're going to get with the current. We're going to get with the flow. We're going to get with what God's doing. Because if God's doing it, I don't want to be caught on the outskirts of the flow. Get in the flow. Get into the waters. Step into the current. The waters are nice and they're ready. I love this part. He said, son of man, hast thou seen? Think about that. It was a place of labor for him. But he had to ask him, have you seen where you've been laboring? And the Bible says, he caused me to return to the brink of the river. That word caused literally means he went and fetched. Will you help me again? This is my preaching buddy right here. I'm gonna fetch you. Is that okay? That means he picked him up and took him to where he had been working. All right. And said, I need you to see what I was doing while you were weary and couldn't make it back. Let me go ahead and preach to the weariness of the body, the tiredness in the bones. You feel like you just don't have much left to offer. You've been sowing and you ain't seen much. You've been stretching and you ain't felt much happen. But God said, hast thou seen? And even though you may not have the energy to return, pick you up and carry you to the point of labor and say, son of man, can you see the trees on the side of the river? Oh, God, help us, Jesus. He said, I caused him to return. And when I brought him back to the point of labor and harvest, son of man, hast thou seen? And he caused me to return to the brink of the river. Watch. Now when I had returned, these banks were barren. These banks had nothing. These banks didn't have anything to offer anybody. But when I come back this time, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. And the waters issued out toward the east country. And they went down into the desert. And they went into the sea, which shall be brought forth into the sea. The waters shall be healed. Watch. And it shall come to pass. You got to hear it. And it shall come to pass. Everything that the flow touches. You got to hear me. Everything that the current of revival goes to. You are the current, and you are the flow. And if you'll bring it to the city that seems dead, if you'll bring it to the place that seems dormant and dry, those neighborhoods where you knocked and nothing happened, that guest that you invited and nothing happened, there's a current going to them. There's a flow traveling. Can you see it? Can you see it? And everything that liveth, which moveth, wheresoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. What did he tell the disciple? I shall make you fishers of men. What he was saying in Ezekiel is, there's going to be a great harvest. But the waters have got to get there. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish because the waters came thither. For they shall be healed and everything shall live where the river cometh. I feel deep in my spirit that the word of the Lord to this church is, while there is famine in the land, while there is famine cursing the world right now, while the world is dying and they don't know where to turn to, there's a flow at the Pentecostals of Sterling Pentecostal Church. I came in here last Thursday and I felt a flow. I come down the mountain today and I felt a flow. I heard the song service tonight and I felt a flow. And I know you've been weary and well doing, but faint not, for in due season ye shall reap. If you don't faint, I know you're weary in your bones, but the Son of Man has come to bring you back to the brink. Oh, Jesus. Sitting right there, I saw in my mind's eye, like the Lord began to show me, reservoirs beginning to break and waters beginning to flow and currents beginning to be unleashed across this city. There's a flow in this place. Mandara kandara bohosh. And it's calling you right now. And that's why some of y'all really don't know what to do in this moment. But there's something calling you deeper. But there's something calling you into a place. That's the Son of Man saying, hast thou seen? Have you seen what I've been doing when you couldn't see it at all? Come on, Sterling Pentecostal Church. I need you to see tonight through the lens of the supernatural. I need you to not look at the famine that has the world. And I need you to tap into the current of the Spirit. Can you step out and step in? Come on, step into the current of the supernatural. Come on, I know you're weary, but step into it. Come on, but you don't understand, preacher. But if you'll step into the current, I'm telling you, there is food for the bones of the weary in this room tonight. There is food for the bones of the weary in this room tonight. I feel a strengthening of the body for a returning to the brink of the flow. Come on. Come on. It's time for you to feast. Come on. It's time for you to partake. Come on. It's time for you to dine once more. There is strength in the house. Come on. There's strength for the weary. Come on. There's strength for the weary. Come on, I feel the flow. Come on, you need to dine right now. Come on, you need to dine right now. Come on, I feel kind of like the angel that visited Elijah underneath that juniper tree. There's a journey that God's going to bring you on. So you got to partake of this that's going to sustain you. Come on, church. There's some food here that's going to bring strength back for the flow. Come on, drink right now. Come on, get a hold of it right now. Yes, Holy Ghost. Come on. You ought to pray for one another if you feel it right now. Come on, you ought to join with one. If one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, you hear me? This body is about to be unified for the work at hand. Strength in the name of Jesus. Come on, the flow. Come on, stay in the flow. Come on, that deep is calling on the deep right now. Come on, don't stop, press in. Come on, don't stop, press in. The deep is calling. Come on, that's it. The deep is here. Come on, that's it.